Then it is used to aid those energetically suppressed wishes in attaining fulfillment in the form of a dream, the dreaming of which from psychic motives would have resulted in the same release of fear. It is not difficult to unite these two apparently discrepant cases. Of two psychic formations, an emotional inclination and an ideal content, which are intimately connected, the one, which is presented as actual, supports the other in the dream. Now anxiety of somatic origin supports the suppressed presentation content. Now the ideal content, which is freed from suppression and which proceeds with the impetus given by sexual emotion, assists the discharge of anxiety. Of the one case, it may be said that an emotion of somatic origin is psychically interpreted. In the other case, everything is of psychic origin, but the content which has been suppressed is easily replaced by a somatic interpretation which is suited to anxiety. The difficulties which lie in the way of understanding all this have little to do with the dream. They are due to the fact that in discussing these points, we are touching upon the problems of the development of anxiety and of repression. Undoubtedly, the aggregate of bodily feelings is to be included among the commanding dream stimuli which originate internally. Not that it is able to furnish the dream content, but it forces the dream thoughts to make a choice from the material destined to serve the purpose of representation in the dream content. It does this by putting within easy reach that part of the material which is suited to its own character, while withholding the other. Moreover, this general feeling which is left over from the day is probably connected with the psychic remnants which are significant for the dream. If somatic sources of excitement occurring during sleep, that is, the sensations of sleep, are not of unusual intensity, they play a part in the formation of dreams similar, in my judgment, to that of the impressions of the day which have remained recent but indifferent. I mean that they are drawn into the dream formation, if they are qualified for being united with the presentation content of the psychic dream source, but in no other case. They are treated as a cheap, ever-ready material, which is utilized as often as it is needed, instead of prescribing, as a precious material does, the manner in which it is to be utilized. The case is similar to that where a patron of art brings to an artist a rare stone, a fragment of onyx, in order that a work of art may be made of it. The size of the stone, its color, and its marking help to decide what bust or what scene shall be represented in it. While in the case where there is a uniform and abundant supply of marble or sandstone, the artist follows only the idea which takes shape in his mind. Only in this manner, it seems to me, is the fact explicable that the dream content resulting from bodily excitements that have not been accentuated to a usual degree does not appear in all dreams and during every night. Perhaps an example, which takes us back to the interpretation of dreams, will best illustrate my meaning. One day I was trying to understand the meaning of the sensations of being impeded, of not being able to move from the spot, of not being able to get finished, etc., which are dreamt about so often and which are so closely allied to anxiety. That night I had the following dream. I am very incompletely dressed, and I go from a dwelling on the ground floor up a flight of stairs to an upper story. In doing this I jump over three steps at a time, and I am glad to find I can mount the steps so quickly. Suddenly I see that a servant girl is coming down the stairs, that is, towards me. I am ashamed and try to hurry away, and now there appears that sensation of being impeded. I am glued to the steps and cannot move from the spot. Analysis. The situation of the dream is taken from everyday reality. In a house in Vienna I have two apartments, which are connected only by a flight of stairs outside. My consultation rooms and my study are on an elevated portion of the ground floor, and one story higher are my living rooms. When I have finished my work downstairs late at night, I go up the steps into my bedroom. On the evening before the dream, I had actually gone this short distance in a somewhat disorderly attire, that is to say, I had taken off my collar, cravat, and cuffs. But in the dream this has changed into a somewhat more advanced degree of undress, which, as usual, is indefinite. Jumping over the steps is my usual method of mounting stairs. Moreover, it is the fulfillment of a wish that has been recognized in the dream, for I have reassured myself about the condition of my heart action by the ease of this accomplishment. Moreover, the manner in which I climb the stairs is an effective contrast to the sensation of being impeded which occurs in the second half of the dream. It shows me, something which needed no proof, that the dream has no difficulty in representing motor actions as carried out fully and completely. Think of flying in dreams. But the stairs which I go up are not those of my house. At first I do not recognize them. Only the person coming toward me reveals to me the location which they are intended to signify. This woman is the maid of the old lady whom I visit twice daily to give hypodermic injections. The stairs, too, are quite similar to those which I must mount there twice daily. How did this flight of stairs and this woman get into my dream? Being ashamed because one is not fully dressed is undoubtedly of a sexual character. The servant of whom I dream is older than I, sulky, and not in the least attractive. These questions call up exactly the following occurrences. When I make my morning visit at this house, I am usually seized with a desire to clear my throat. The product of the expectoration falls upon the steps. For there is no spittoon on either of these floors, and I take the view that the stairs should not be kept clean at my expense, but by the provision of a spittoon. The housekeeper, likewise an elderly and sulky person with instincts for cleanliness, takes another view of the matter. She lies in wait for me to see whether I take the liberty referred to, and when she has made sure of it, I hear her growl distinctly. For days thereafter she refuses to show me her customary regard when we meet. On the day before the dream, the position of the housekeeper had been strengthened by the servant girl. I had just finished my usual hurried visit to the patient, when the servant confronted me in the anteroom and observed, "You might as well have wiped your shoes today, doctor, before you came into the room. The red carpet is all dirty again from your feet." This is the whole claim which the flight of stairs and the servant girl can make for appearing in my dream. An intimate connection exists between my flying over the stairs and my spitting on the stairs. Pharyngitis and diseases of the heart are both said to be punishments for the vice of smoking, on account of which vice, of course, I do not enjoy a reputation for great neatness with my housekeeper in the one house any more than in the other, both of which the dream fuses into a single image. I must postpone the further interpretation of this dream until I can give an account of the origin of the typical dream of incomplete dress. I only note as a preliminary result from the dream which has just been cited that the dream sensation of inhibited action is always aroused at a point where a certain connection requires it. A peculiar condition of my motility during sleep cannot be the cause of this dream content, for a moment before I saw myself hurrying over the steps with ease, as though in confirmation of this fact. D. Typical dream.